started a series last Sunday morning on when the heat gets on. And so we looked last Sunday at when the heat gets on in the stand of our faith. And this morning we're going to preach, having a thought of when the heat gets on in the sorrow of our storms. Look in Job chapter 23 and verse 10. But he knoweth the way that I take, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Heavenly Father, help us now. You know the need that we have this morning. And Lord, we certainly need a touch from you and that from heaven. And Lord, I pray that you just guide us and lead us in the way that we need to go. Save somebody here this morning. Lord, that they just come to the free pardon of sin and realize that they need to get saved and that you deal with them and help them to get saved. Please do that. And Lord, I ask that maybe somebody that's struggling this morning, Lord, that is in the sorrow of the storm this morning, and it seems like the heat is being applied and that to their life, I ask this morning that you'd help them with this message. And we're going to give you the glory for it all. Touch us and anoint us afresh. I ask you to save that sinner that's nearest hell for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. You can be seated this morning. I appreciate all the singing. I really do. I appreciate the songs that was sung in the choir. Some special songs. I'm glad God walks the dark hills. He'll come to us. The Bible said in the book of John chapter 14. He said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Boy, I'm glad of that this morning. But in the middle of Job chapter 23, we read, but he knoweth the way that I take, and when he had tried me, I shall come forth as gold. And like I said, we're preaching a series on when the heat begins to get applied to our life. And there are times that sorrow is going to come in to our life. There's times that we're going to face storms. There's times that we're going to have to climb mountains. There's times that we're going to be in the middle of the valley and sorrow is going to be there. Let me say that first of all quickly that friend, sometimes storms and sorrow is of our own doing and of our own making. If you look in 2 Samuel chapter 12, when David and Bathsheba's baby died over there, that was because of the sin and that of adultery, and because of the sin and that of murder that David had committed. And we understand that. But friend, that did not change that there was not sorrow that come to that house. Just because they had caused it, sorrow was still there. As a matter of fact, the Bible said that David went and comforted Bathsheba. And then we find another time, and I'm not picking on David, but it was in 2 Samuel chapter 24 when David had numbered Israel. Take your Bible and look over there, and then we'll get started. 2 Samuel chapter 24, David at this time has numbered the nation of Israel. God said not to do it. In one passage of Scripture, Joab told him, don't do this, David, it ain't right. Don't be numbering Israel. God didn't want Israel numbered except at certain times because they didn't want them to get built up and that in pride and think that they've done something in their self. And so in 2 Samuel chapter 24, and David's heart smote him after that he had numbered the people. And David said unto the Lord, I have sinned greatly, and that I have done in that I have done. And now I beseech thee, O Lord, take away the iniquity of thy servant, for I have done very foolishly. So let me ask you, how many times in our Christian life have we acted and done foolishly? There's been times I've done that. Amen. Verse 11, for David was up in the morning, and the word of the Lord came unto the prophet Gad, David's seer, saying, go and say unto David, thus saith the Lord, I offer thee three things. Choose thee one of them that I may do it unto thee. So Gad came to David and told him and said unto him, shall 7 years famine come unto thee in thy land, or wilt thou flee 3 months before thine enemies while they pursue thee, or that there be 3 days pestilence in thy land? Now advise and see what answer I shall return to him that sent me. And David said unto Gad, I am in a great strait. Let us fall now into the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are great. Ain't that good? And let me not fall into the hand of man. So the Lord sent a pestilence upon Israel from the morning even to the time appointed. And there died of the people of Dan even to Beersheba 70,000 men. You can read on, and God stayed that angel from destroying the rest of them. But again, that time when 70,000 men and that in the nation of Israel died was because of David's own doing. But can I tell you today that, friend, there come storms and sorrow into our life that was not of our own making. Take your Bible and go back to Job chapter 1. Job chapter 1, I'm preaching on when the heat gets on. Now listen, if you live any time of tall, you're going to face some sorrow in your life. And boy, I mean, there's times that sorrow gets so great that it seems like that it makes us numb and that all over. It's liable to make us doubt if God's even real and if this life is worth living. But I want you to look at when your world falls apart. Look at Job right here in verse 1 of chapter 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. And his substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she asses in a very great household. So that this man was the greatest, not great, but the greatest, none greater than Job, greatest of all the men of the East. As I read that, I read over in the margin of my Bible where I had pinned out some years ago what made Job so great. I got that pinned out over here in the edge of my Bible, and I've got verse 1 I wrote beside it. You know what made Job so great? Go back and look at verse 1. He was a man that feared God. Eschewed evil. He stayed separated out of the world. He wanted to do whatever God wanted him to do. And God had blessed him in his life. Look right here. Job served God. Job loved God. Let me tell you this. You begin to serve God and love God and point folk to God and say, right there, is the reason that I am the way that I am. Because he loved me, shed his blood for me. Hey, listen, we've heard enough about the blood this morning, sung about it. The first song this morning, listen, Brother Lewis played it when we was coming up here to get ready for the choir. But I want to tell you something. Job loved God, and he was on God's radar. Can I ask you this morning, are you on God's radar? How do you know that he was on God's radar? If you read later on in this chapter, just in the middle part, you'll find as Satan comes to the Lord over there, and he said this in verse 8, and the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? Listen, God had already been watching Job. He had already been paying attention to the life that he was living. Reckon how much God pays attention to the life that we're living. Hey, I'm going to tell you, I believe he pays attention. Amen. You can't hide from God. Did you know that? Hey, I want God and that to know that he saved me and keeps me, and I'm trying my best as I know how the scripture, and that to live for him. Amen. listen this morning. He's watching you. Boy, if you ain't ever been saved, he knocks on that heart. Says, why don't you come and get saved? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man will hear my voice and will open the door, I'll come in and sit with him and he with me. But boy, I believe God was watching Job. And Satan, he come over there and said, and the Lord said, what are you doing? He said, I'm going to and fro. Walking to and fro in the earth. And he said, hast thou considered my servant Job? Now I want you to look at what Satan says right here in verse 9. Well, first of all, let me pick back up in verse 8. Look at how God presents Job. He said he's a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. And so he presents him there in a question, actually. Not in a statement, but in a question. And he said, I want you to look at him. Well, look at what Satan says. He said, doth Job fear God for naught? Did you realize that Job is living right? Job is doing right. He's the greatest of all the men of the east. God has blessed him because he's living for him. God has watched him and watched over him, presented him to Satan. But Satan himself also has him on his radar. Right. How do you know? He said, doth Job fear God for naught? Hast thou not made an hedge about him and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. Satan knew about Job too. And I tell you that Satan knows about you too. If you're serving God, if you're serving God, he knows all about you. And he knows, friend, that you're wanting to do something for God and serve God. And he's out there to stop you and try to get you to quit. But listen, Job's world come to an end. We know the, let me put it to you like this. It didn't come to an end. It just fell apart one day. As God had told Satan, said, go put forth your hand to him, but save his life over there. Bible said in verse 13, and I preach out of this a lot sometimes in revival, that there was a day. You know, there's a day that some days, there's a day that you're going to pick up the telephone and bad news ain't going to be on the other end. But horrible news is going to be on the other end. Listen, in being in the job that I'm in, I get good news some days and horrible news the other day. Well, there's been times that I went to the hospital thinking that everything was going to be all right. By the time I got out there and when I got there, boy, people's lives is turned upside down. And I think most of y'all know what it's like to get those phone calls. You better come fast. You better come now. Listen, it's coming to an end. But listen, it said right here that there was a day. So what happened? And that to Job. Job and that began. The Bible said right there that in verse 13... that what? It said that when his sons and his daughters were drinking wine in their eldest brother's house, that there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them, and the Sabians fell upon them and took them away, and have what? Slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am alone, to escaped alone to tell thee. And so he goes on down through here. And not only did the Sabians come and take those away. It said right here in verse 16 that the fire of God. Now watch what he said while he was yet speaking. And y'all have heard me preach on this before. He's got a servant in front of him here. His phone rings over here in the midst of this feller talking. And said, there come another. Said, the fire of God is fallen from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them. So Job, this first fellow said, boy, all your animals, he said, the servants that you had, the oxen and the asses, they're gone. They've been carried off. All your servants are dead and I'm in. Now then comes in and says, the fire of God fell from heaven and burnt up all the sheep and all the servants and I'm in. Be like one day coming in. Well, let me read verse 17. And while he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the Chaldeans made out 3 bands and fell upon the camels, and he carried them away, and yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. It would be like coming in one day and finding your house burnt to the ground. The bank man standing there telling you, you have no money in the bank, it's all gone. We can't help you. You hadn't here, he stands, and all he's got is the clothes that's on him. But he's got family. And family's always a good thing.
Amen.
But now listen. Look in verse 18. While he was yet speaking, there came another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the 4 corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. I think to say that Job was having a bad day is an understatement.
Yeah, amen.
Your mom and daddy's come in your house, laying on the ground. The bank man standing there telling you, you ain't got no money. And then the undertaker pulls up and tells you, all your children are dead. Now think about that for just a second. Its possessions can be replaced. But them young'uns that you've raised, now these were growed, okay? These were growed men and growed ladies. But I'm sure that still didn't take the hurt away from Job's life. Job was a man that feared God and eschewed evil.
Amen.
And all these things came upon him. So here stands Job, and the Bible says in the latter part of that he arose and he rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshiped. Now ain't that something? He didn't get mad at God. He didn't fall to pieces. It said that he just shaved his head, rent his mantle, and fell down on the ground and worshiped. And said, naked I came out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And all this Job, seeing not, or charge God foolishly. If you read chapter 2, you find that Satan came again unto the Lord. Verse 3, God done it again. He said, hast thou considered my servant Job? Well, think about this for just a second. I think Randy had a great scare today. He told us men on the front porch, he's a fire down there at my house or down toward my house, I'm going to go see if it's mine. You know what? Every one of us may go home today and our stuff may be burnt to the ground.
Amen.
I know I've told you this story. Me and Kelly's got some very dear friends of ours that I got that call one morning, 6:30 in the morning, while they were in vacation in Florida, and he said, man, my house is burnt down. Now imagine having to come home a 12-hour ride out of South Florida knowing that when you got home you was going to have to face a burnt down house. And some of y'all know what it's like. Look at some of you out here today. I know that you have had your house burned down, lost your possessions. But I want you to look what God done again to Job. When I say he done it to him, I want you to look right here. He said, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth? That's an understatement too. Amen. Here's a man that has lost everything. His children, his finances. And he is on the ground worshiping God. How many of us would be found in church if that happened to us? Just asking you a question. One that feareth God and escheweth evil. And still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. And Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. And he took him a potsherd, that's a broken piece of pottery, to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. And then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. Reckon whose side she is on. Job's lost his finances. Job's lost his children. Job's lost his health. And now Job's lost his wife, if you let me say that. But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God? And shall we not receive evil? And this, in all this, did not Job sin with his lips. Let me read the rest of it. Verse 11. Now when Job's three friends heard of all this evil that was come upon him, they came every one of him from his own place, Eliphaz the Temanite, and Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite, for they had made an appointment together to come to mourn with him and to comfort him. Now I underline the word comfort in my Bible, because if you'll read on in the book of Job, he says, miserable comforters are ye. And when they lifted up their eyes afar off and knew him not, how many times have we ever done that? Well, I mean, go to see somebody that's been in the hospital and we hadn't seen them in a while. And boy, maybe cancer has ravaged on them and eat on them. And friend, when we go in there, it don't even look like them, the person before. I believe that's what Job looked like. Listen, here he is. Listen, sorrow in itself takes a trial on us. Sorrow itself will change us, not only mentally, but it'll change us physically. And here he sits with boils from the crown of his head all the way to the bottom of his foot, and he's sitting in dust and ashes. A man that yesterday had everything. Probably had some of the prettiest children you ever seen in your life. One of the prettiest wives. I'm just reading between the lines here. Listen, everything Job touched was good. All because of verse 1 in chapter 1. Because he was a man that feared God and eschewed evil. Well, would to God that we could get some church people to learn that. And some other folk to stay separated out of this world and to fear God. And God's just liable to bless, amen, if we do that. The Bible said, and when they lifted up their eyes afar off and knew him not, they lifted up their voice and wept, and they rent every one his mantle and sprinkled dust upon their heads toward heaven. And so they sat down with him upon the ground 7 days and 7 nights, and none spake a word unto him, for they saw that his grief was very great. Now I want you to think about this. I was listening to a preacher the other day, and he was talking about how that a feller that he knew, and I believe was in his church, I may have that wrong, but said his boy had died. His son, his grown son, I believe was in his 20s or in his 30s, and he said he got killed in a car wreck. Listen, and he said, there's just times you don't know what to say and what to do. And I'm one of those fellers. You ever just met them fellers that seem like they have the right words to say in a time of crisis? And they can go to the funeral home and they say the right things. And when you're in a hospital, they say the right things. I'm the kind of feller that struggles, that don't even know what to say. I mean, I'll stutter around and spit around there, and I try to get something spit out that seems spiritual and godly, and that hopefully will help you. But he said, you know what? You know, he said, you know what I've done? He said, I got over there to his house, and he said his family's sitting there, and he said, this is a fella that weighed 300, 400 pounds. And I don't know how big this preacher is. I was listening to him on the radio, and he said, you know what I've done? He said, I went over there, and he said, I just crawled up in his lap and laid my head down right here. And he said, I cried
and he cried. And I cried and he cried. And that's what we've done. Sometimes folk don't need words.
That's right.
They just need to know that you're there. So here sets his seven friends. Now remember, I'm preaching on when the heat gets on. What did Job say in Job chapter 23? What did he say? When he hath what? Tried me, I shall come forth as what? Gold. Can you imagine the shock that Job had in his life? His possessions, his children, his health, his wife. And if you read this, his friends began to blame him and accuse him for the shape that he was in. And in this process, Job got to looking for an answer. Go back and look at the text chapter in chapter 23. And y'all know that I've preached out of this several times. But Job, right here, his world is falling apart. And in chapter 23, and listen, we all face death. I know by the natural course of things, if something don't happen to me, and I try not to think of this, but the older that you get, you got to start facing these things.
Amen.
But I know that there's some funerals that I'm going to have that's going to break my heart. Some of you has already faced them times.
Yeah, amen.
And I know there's some times coming. But you know what? I don't want to belittle that or make it seem small or anything like that. But that really is nature. Mm-hmm. We live and we die.
Amen.
And we bury those that are ahead of us.
Right.
But this is an unusual case. Job in one day lost it all.
Amen.
You lost it all in one day. I was reading an article the other day in the news where there was a man and a woman and four of their children in a vehicle, and they had a car wreck and it killed all of them but the wife. The four girls and the husband. That's a bad day.
Yeah, amen.
Can you imagine going down to the funeral home and having to get ready for five funerals? Job had to get ready for 10 while he was sitting in dust and ashes. And he was looking for some understanding. Job chapter 23, then Job answered and said, "Even today is my complaint bitter, and my stroke is heavier than my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat." Job said, "I can't find God, but boy, if I could get there."
Amen.
He said, "I'd order my cause before him, and I'd fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which he would answer me, and understand what he would say unto me. Will he plead against me with his great power? No, but he would put strength in me. There the righteous might dispute with him, so should I be delivered forever from my judgment." He said, if I could just get before the throne of God and find out what's going on,
yeah,
I'd have an answer. Verses 8 and 9, some of my most favorite scripture that Job ever said. "Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him on the left hand where he doth work." I said, "Richard, why do you like that scripture so much?" Because I've kind of been there before.
Yep.
You get to looking for him and you can't find him. But on the left hand where he doth work. I believe Job said, "I'm looking over here on the left hand." He said, "I can see him working over there. He's working for somebody else. He's doing something, but he ain't doing it for me." But he said, "On the left where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. And he hath himself on the right hand, and I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take. And when it tried me, I shall come forth as gold." So Job was looking for understanding. But there was one thing that Job did understand in verse 10. "When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." He understood he was in a refining process. He had that much wisdom about him that he understood that God was trying him. Do you know that if you're living for God and your world all of a sudden falls apart, I'd begin to think that, yeah, God's trying me. I may not know why he's trying me. I may not understand why he's doing this, but I know this, that he's trying me. Because he said when he had tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Job's world is falling apart. But I want you to look that the Lord was very familiar with him. He said, but he knoweth the way that I take. God never quit watching over Job. Two times the Lord said to Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? He was on God's radar, wasn't he? Can I tell you that during this time, even though that it seemed like and felt like to Job that his world had come to an end and all this pressure and all this heat's being applied to him. Say, preacher, why would God apply the heat to a man that loved him, that was the greatest because of him, and he eschewed evil? Why would God do those things? I'll get there in a minute. No doubt Job wondered the same thing. But he said, but he knoweth the way that I take. Job said, I can't see the way that he's taken, but he knows the way that I'm taking. There are times, friend, as Brother Lewis sung, God walks the dark hills. There are times that we face the hills and the valleys, and it seems like that we're all alone, but you need to remember that God's watching you.
Amen.
Some of my most favorite scripture again in Mark chapter 6 and in John chapter 6 when the disciples is out there in the middle of the storm on the Sea of Galilee, the Sea of Gennesaret. By the way, that's the same sea, the Sea of Gennesaret. You'll find that the Bible said that they had rowed out into the middle of that thing. It was dark, and the Bible said that Jesus was alone on the land, but yet he saw them toiling in rowing. How was that possible? They're in the middle of the sea, which is 3.5 to 4 miles off the shore. It is now dark, but the Bible said he saw them toiling in rowing. He sees us in our toiling and our rowing. He sees us in the midst of our storms and our sorrow. I told Kelly these on the way here. I kind of told her just a little bit, preaching on Job. I said, and these messages scare me to death because I don't know what tomorrow holds. Bible said in the book of Nahum, chapter 1 and verse 7, the Lord is good and a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. Hebrews 13 and 5 said, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Can I tell you, it may seem like the Lord does not care about you, but he does. If everything you had today was taken away, and I mean everything, would you still serve God? Job's sitting out there in dust tonight. Can you imagine? I can't get it in my mind what he must have looked like. I mean, here's a man that is physically eat up with bulls.
Amen.
And to get any relief, he's took broken pottery. And he's sitting in dust and ashes, so he's in the dirt. And by this time that we've read, he's been there at least 7 days. And Scripture don't tell us how long he was in the dust and the ashes. Sometimes I think it would do us good to get in the dust and the ashes.
Yep.
Say, God don't want us to do that. I think sometimes it would do us good to get out on the ground and remember what we're made out of.
Amen.
We think a lot of ourselves sometimes.
Right.
Now listen to me. He took that old broken pottery. Can you imagine what's running through Job's mind? He's lost everything. Everything. And here sits a man that had everything. He had it all. And now he's got nothing. And he's sitting there and he's just scraping. And I bet them things are running. And he's bleeding. And they're oozing. And for all that he's worth, he says, well, I'm looking around and I can't see him nowhere. But I know he sees me.
Yeah. Glory to God.
He ain't forgot me. Now how could a man that has lost everything, literally lost everything, look up to heaven and say, I can't see him, but I know he sees me. I'd probably be a blubbering fool at that time. The Lord's very familiar with us. During that time, he sees you, but I want you to know something about the blessed Lord Jesus Christ. He feels what you're going through too. The Bible said in Hebrews chapter 4, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. We don't understand, but he understands. He knows. He understands. He knows what it's like to be forsaken. He knows what it's like to lose everything. Did he not leave the portals in that of glory and that to come down here to die for me and you? And left the fellowship of the Father. All his friends forsook him. The Father forsook him at Calvary. Why, he carried all the weight and all the sin of the world. Hey, he knows what it's like to lose it all, friend. I want to tell you, Jesus loves you this morning. You may feel like that your world's come to an end, but boy, he's got it under control.
Amen.
Job, in all this, look in verse 11, verse 12, he continued to follow and at the Lord. It all fell apart, but the Lord was familiar with him. In verse 11 and 12, Job continued to follow. My foot hath held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Job said, in all this, I've kept on following God. I've not quit. I've not turned back. I've maintained what I was supposed to do. I asked a question a few minutes ago, why God would do what he done to Job. I believe there was a lot of reasons God done what he done to Job. One was to prove to Satan that Job would remain faithful.
Amen.
But when I look in John chapter 15, the The Bible said this, I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it that it may bring forth more fruit. Here's a man that loves God and escheweth evil and is doing right and is the greatest in all of the land. And God's still purging on him. Is it any surprise when God works on us? You ain't perfect, friend.
No.
You ain't arrived, and I sure ain't arrived.
Yeah, that's right.
God wants to work on us.
Amen.
And purge us and make something out of us. Listen, I mean, we're just the clay. I'm talking about when the heat gets on, how do we respond to it? When sorrow in the midst of storms come upon us, how do we react to it? It's easy to sit on the church pew when everything's going okay and say, I believe I do all right. I hope you would. Some of you have been there. God's still trying to use it to our good and do something in us. Job went on to say down in verse 16, for God maketh my heart soft. He said, God's worked on my heart. Imagine Job. You read most of this book. Now remember, there's 42 chapters in the book of Job. That's the number for tribulation. It's 42 months in the tribulation period. A lot of this is where Job's friends have accused him of sinning or not being right. And the heat is being applied to Job's life. But I want you to look at the finish of Job's life. Look in Job 42 and look in verse 10. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Then came there unto all his brethren, then came unto him all his brethren and all his sisters and all that had been of his acquaintance before, and did eat bread with him in the house, and they bemoaned him and covered him over all the evil that the Lord had brought upon him. Every man also gave him a piece of money, and every one an earring of gold. And so the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. For he had 14,000 sheep and 6,000 camels and 1,000 yoke of oxen and 1,000 she asses. And he also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. And he called the name of the first Jemima, and the name of the second Keaziah, and the name of the third Kinnerhapuk. And in all the land, now watch this right here, in all the land were no women found so far as the daughters of Job. And their father gave them an inheritance among their brethren. And after this lived Job 140 years. After all this come to an end, after all the tribulation and the sorrow, I don't know how old Job was when all this started. He had grown children.
Yep. Amen.
He had enough time to build up his wealth by God's help and for God to make him the greatest in the land of the east. So Job had some age on him when this thing happened.
Amen.
You know, bad things do come to God's people, even in their latter age. God's still refining on us.
Amen.
All the time, trying to work on us. And after this lived Job 140 years. and saw his sons. Now watch this. I love this right here. Saw his sons and his sons' sons, even four generations. So Job died being old and full of days. So we see the finish of Job. As I was reading this, imagine if Job didn't finish right. Would we have 42 chapters where God had wrote about Job? Can I tell you, it's a choice for you to finish right or not in the midst of your sorrow and your storm. Can I tell you, God applies heat in our life in certain ways to refine us.
Amen.
And get us to where He can use us even better and even more. Our faith may get tried in the midst of a storm. And the heat gets on. But it's how we react in the middle of it all. God's just trying. Listen, if you know that you're living right and you're doing right and you're trying to serve God. And by the way, he does deal with Job through the latter part of the chapter. He does deal with Job. God does deal with Job. And you know, he asked Job over there. He said, Job, was you here when I laid the foundation of it all? when I spun the stars into existence up there and they sang together for the very first time, was you here? We don't understand some things, but we just need to know that God's with us and He's trying us and applying the heat to us to get us shaped up to live even better,
Lord,
for Him. Let's bow our heads this morning. Man, let's get us a verse of invitation this morning if we would. I don't know what you're going through, and I don't know what tomorrow holds. But I do know this, one thing that I cling to a lot is that I'm His and He's mine and He's not going to turn loose of me. He's watching every move that I make. And the more you serve God, friend, the more Satan's going to want to beat on you. He wants you to quit. That's what Satan told God. He said, skin for skin. He said, look, He said, He'll curse you to your face. It's what Satan said. He just didn't know Job like God did. I don't know what you're facing. Maybe you need to come and pray this morning and need some help. Maybe you need some strength. I know God can help you.